They were going to teach them that if you studied and learned this very esoteric message, you could be born into another life. You could be born out of the flesh into the spirit. They were teaching absolute truth. Some of it was quite horrendous. They actually had to die and go to Hades. They had to go through a river of ice, a river of fire. They had to see a sword come and cut through, a spiritual sword, cut through warm bodies, their own. They had to absorb a great deal of fear and overcome it. But all of it was calculated to make them get out of sense life and to find a higher awareness than the senses could give them. And as they learned that when the ground dropped out beneath them, or when physical objects dissolved into water, and they saw this with their own eyes or felt this emptiness, wondered where their body was, when eventually they saw that they were still alive, even the blood they had seen and the flashing swords they had seen did not deplete them of their own blood, they realized that they were learning something. All of this, though, was private instruction. Usually these secret temples were underground. There was an underground temple in Jerusalem built by King Solomon. And all of this was before the Christian era. Before men were thrown to the lions. They were learning the meaning of the Christ life. They were learning the divine life. Many of the students of these mystery schools were big names, even today. Plato, Socrates, Clement of Alexandria. A lot of Greek names probably some of us never heard, like Empedocles. Father Gregory, Clement of Alexandria. Plutarch, Cicero, the orator, men who made major contributions to the human world, who were not satisfied to come and go like the wind, but who needed a deeper teaching, and who sought it and found it. We don't read about them because of the proscription that to tell what has happened in these secret chambers meant death. Now later, and it was necessary to see the entire picture to understand what happened later. Later, when Jesus himself was trained among the Essenes, that was a mystery school. And he was one of the first to come out of a mystery school and to present the mysteries openly. What had been taught in the mystery schools secretly was strange to the world when Jesus presented it openly. But he was selected for a very good reason. He was a past master. He had proven his capacity to be a transparency for God, to transmit the wisdom, the light of God, without human adulteration, without interpretation, without judgment, but to simply let it flow through, to let God teach the world. That's why he was chosen. Someday it will be discovered that he had proved himself when he walked the earth as Enoch. He's still teaching the same message. When you see Christ Jesus in the light of a world teacher, teaching the divinity of man, teaching that eternal life is the nature of man, that mortality is a world illusion, and proving it, then you're into what Infinite Way is all about. And so that is going to be the way we follow the truth that has been presented on the earth from Enoch, Moses, through the prophets, through Christ Jesus, through those recent lights who have kept alive the truth. And we in turn, benefiting by their diligence, their devotion, matching it with our own if we can, will discover that we have that innate capacity to be a transparency for the light of God. We have it, or we perish. I don't think anybody can debate that point. We either become the light, and we shine that light, or we perish. The light of Christ in you must shine. We were taught by Christ Jesus that the kingdom of God is here. We were shown that he could walk in it. We were shown that it is available to whoever has the capacity to know the truth and then to live the truth that he knows. And that at the end of that truth, the truth would express visibly, manifest, glorifying the Father who said, "Be ye perfect." Now you can never glorify God by dying. Your death does not glorify God. You can only glorify God by your eternal life. And that is your destiny. And through Christ we learn that eternal life is your now reality. Your now reality. It isn't something you're going to become or something you're going to attain. It's who you are. And when the hypnosis is broken, when the sleep of mortality is no longer there, you will discover what you have always been is the living Christ, which was in the beginning and is now. I'd like to be still for a moment with the realization of Christ now as the reality of everyone in this room. Any other presence is impossible, because all that exists is the begotten Son of the Father. When you realize it, you will find the power welling up within you to live as that which you are, and to refuse to live as that which you are not. I have good news that you can get this book of Jasher if you want it. And the address is right here. Anyone can look at it. And you send $13.50 to the publisher. That's all there is to it. I'll put it right on the tape. Dolores Press, 1501 South Glendale Avenue, Glendale, California, 91205. Dolores Press, 1501 South Glendale Avenue, Glendale, California, 91205. The price is $13.50, and that includes the postage. Just tell them the Book of Jasher. You'll get it eventually. Those who want to have that as a permanent record in their library, I find that if you have it, and you glance at it from time to time, any wavering doubts that you may have had that you're embarking on an unusual course that has never been done before will be disseminated, and you'll realize that it's an old, old, old course that the world simply hadn't discovered. Now, the secret of finding your Christhood and living in it is going to be your Christ mind. You have to learn how to discriminate between the difference between your human mind and your Christ mind. Whatever your human mind sees is a form of hypnotism, whether you like it or not. The human mind is hypnotized. The Christ mind is not hypnotized. That's why everybody dies, because they live with a human mind that is hypnotized. And in that hypnosis, they experience the hypnosis of death. In the Christ mind, the hypnosis of death does not exist. It sounds quite simple. It isn't that simple. But you'll find that in the Christ mind, as you develop the capacity to let it be your mind, you begin to develop a new awareness of the Spirit. You see, Christ's mind is aware of the Spirit. Human mind is aware of the mental image. And so as you think of a mental image, you're thinking with your human mind. And it may sound very attractive to you. You may wish to possess that mental image. But you're going to possess something that doesn't exist. The only truth is what you can perceive with your Christ mind. That may not sound very palatable, but transition depends on truth. And the quicker we depart from the concept of living in a human mind, the quicker we discover that we have incredible capacities. The Christ mind knows God. The Christ mind knows the spiritual universe. The human mind doesn't know God. In fact, the human mind has no capacity to know God. The human mind has no capacity to know the spiritual universe. It can't even know divine love. The human mind can only dwell in the imitation of life. We should be aware of the imitation of life every time we allow ourselves to live exclusively under the dominion of the human mind, which is under the dominion of the world mind. That's the double hypnosis. And when you catch yourself, at first, you will say, well, I just can't break that hypnotism. That doesn't matter. The most important thing is your recognition of the fact that you're using a human mind and you wish to use the Christ mind. Now, the Christ mind will only identify spirit. It won't identify matter. The Christ mind of Jesus lived in the kingdom of spirit. And the Christ mind of you lives in the kingdom of spirit. It is your natural mind as a Christ being. And when you're living in that sense of mind which interprets physical objects materially, you're not living in your reality. And so, this invites the various dualities of the human mind. All duality is based upon the belief that we live in a material universe, and that in turn is based upon the belief that we're separated from God, spirit. We don't recognize that God and spirit are one. You cannot be one with God and live in a human mind. No matter what you think or say or do, you're still separated from God because of the human mind. And so, in our first class here, it's a make or break class. We must be aware that our goal is to quickly establish the need to live in and as the Christ mind, so that by tomorrow's class, we know, unless we're living in the Christ mind, we are pushing our transition away. We are pushing eternal life away. We are pushing divine law and divine protection away. All of the things that matter to us, all of the things that are imperishable, are attained through the awareness of the Christ mind. All of the perishables All of the temporary things come with the human mind. Now that was all right. We had to learn that. The purpose of all these false sense images was to make you realize that you're not getting anywhere. You had to go through the sense image in order to learn how to defend against that mind which wants to keep you earthbound and deathbound. How to move out of that mind. Now, when it is said that Enoch taught wisdom, it means divine wisdom. When he taught knowledge, it means divine knowledge. Enoch didn't teach one single thing with the human mind. His Christ mind brought pure truth to his disciples. That's how they made their transition. And now we must put some starch in our spinal columns and insist on pure truth, always. Your human mind, in its separation from spirit, which is automatic, inasmuch as it has no capacity to see, hear, feel spirit, it has to report aging, where aging doesn't exist. It has to report time, where time doesn't exist. It has to report decay, and God never made decay. All of the negatives that it reports are because it eats of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, where only spirit is. And so in your evolution of consciousness, knowing that your next step is to rise to that level which rejects the duality of good and evil and accepts only the presence of spirit, this is where you sow. This is where you turn your attention. You give it more time, more thought, more emphasis. You catch yourself. You want to walk not on slippery water, but on the sure reality that spirit is where you are. Now, that's quite a radical change. Your human mind knows water, air, fire. Your Christ mind doesn't. Your Christ mind only knows one substance. It doesn't know water. It doesn't know fire. It doesn't know air. And you say, I can't do that. Think carefully. Your Christ mind can do that. When you say, I can't do that, you mean your human mind. There are many things that your human mind cannot do, but your Christ mind can do them all. In fact, your Christ mind cannot die. It simply doesn't know how to die. You see, how can it die? When it knows that God is all. Can spirit die? Can spirit be sick? Can spirit lack? Can spirit be limited? When you say, I can't do that, you mean me, my human self. That's the self that wants to die because that's the only thing it knows. The self that doesn't die is the self that your Christ mind knows. Now that's where you make your change. The change in consciousness from Christ mind to Christ mind from human mind is the magic button. And I must repeat, even though you don't make the change overnight, the mere fact that you become aware of a change being necessary is the beginning. And then when you come to a situation where you're beholding a problem, you must become aware that the problem exists in your human mind. It does not exist in your Christ mind. There are no problems in the Christ mind. And therefore, you face the problem with the knowledge that my Christ mind cannot accept the problem. I must use the Christ mind. And so I face the problem with the knowledge that I cannot accept it. And then you're saying to yourself, well, will that make the problem go away? That's the beginning of using your Christ mind. Face the problem not with the human mind, but with the Christ mind, which means look at it. Be still and wait. And that's not asking too much. It isn't saying the problem will vanish. It's saying, look at the problem, refuse to accept it at its face value, be still and wait, with the knowledge that this problem only appears to my human mind. And as you wait, you will discover a new kind of strength slowly develops, not necessarily the first time. But ultimately, not every problem is life or death. You can afford to wait. It could be something that is not a major issue even. Face it, this problem does not exist in my Christ mind. Know it, be still, and don't let the mind dwell on the problem, because you're trying to see it with the Christ mind. Now the Christ mind sees the same problem that you see, but it's not there. Christ doesn't wave a wand to stop a storm. The problem isn't there to the Christ mind. It simply isn't there. Christ doesn't heal anything. Christ doesn't heal a leper. We all thought that Christ went around healing people. He didn't. Joel never healed a person in his life. The results made it appear that way. But what he did was he broke the hypnotism. That's the Christ way. The Christ way is to unsee with the human mind, stand in the knowledge of divine perfection, and invite the activity of Christ in you to see the problem, to see the reality of the problem. Oftentimes that's a healing. Every problem on the face of the earth is hypnosis. Please make a note of that and practice seeing it as hypnosis, knowing that if you could look at that same problem with your Christ mind, you wouldn't see a problem. You'd see spirit, which your human eyes cannot see, which a human mind cannot touch. And the spirit that you would see is not aging, is not decaying, can never die. And because spirit is all and God is that spirit, you are going to eliminate death in your life. And a lot of strange vulnerabilities that we suffer from when we live in a human mind. The hard work is to have the patience, to have the determination, and a certain degree of what you might call skill, being able to face anything, not with a human mind, but with a Christ mind, and let the Christ mind outpicture the truth. Joel told us he had no patience. We didn't understand. He didn't have any patience. He knew the only problem was hypnotism. He taught it. Now, many of you are suffering from problems that you consider very real. But if you start proving that the Christ mind breaks the hypnotism in a small way, you'll find that the same Christ mind breaks the hypnotism in a big way. And the hypnotism that it will break ultimately will be the belief that you are a mortal creature. The belief that you have a life of 70 and 10 or whatever it's going to be. Or the belief that you have a limitation. The belief that you have a problem. It took the disciples quite a while to learn this. And they had a great teacher, the best there is. We have that teacher within us, that same teacher. And so during the seminar, we're going to learn how to let the Christ mind live our lives. We've got to. We don't have any choice. There's no other way to be perfect as your Father. The people who followed Enoch were the first immortals on this earth. They preceded everyone in the universe. They were the first immortals. They evacuated humanhood. They walked in new bodies because he taught them how to use their Christ mind. And that meant how to let the Christ mind live their life. That was the essence of his teaching. Paul made it clear, have ye that mind that was in Christ Jesus? But why he made it clear is something that you must take to heart. He made it clear that until you have that mind that was in Christ Jesus, you're going to go around battling what isn't there. Tomorrow there's going to be a batch of new problems in this world. And the world is not ready to handle them. And so you're going to have to be a committee of one to handle them. You're going to have to walk in the world letting Christ within you define the spiritual universe around you. Building your realization that you are that living spirit. You look in a room, you see a chair, a sofa, a rug, a lamp. That's your human mind. Stop looking at it that way. Spirit is invisible. What you cannot see, you can know. You can know that spirit is the substance of every object in that room. What can be in a room but spirit if spirit is all? You uphold the allness of spirit. You see spirit that you cannot see. You discern it. You accept it. And then you say, well, if spirit is all that's here, these separate objects can't be true because spirit is one. There's no separation in spirit between a chair here and a chair there. Spirit is one, one invisible, undivided substance. So now you're in a second level. You're in the undivided level of spirit. You're accepting the indivisibility of spirit, which is the substance of everything in the room. Now somebody has a problem with something in that room. But you can't accept that problem because you've accepted the indivisibility and the invisibility of spirit. You're going to find that your consciousness will prevail over the physical world around you if you are diligent, faithful, persevering. The master couldn't accept the adulteress. He saw what everybody else saw with their human minds, with his spiritual mind, with his Christ mind. Neither do I condemn thee, because you're not what the world sees. You're what I see. I see spirit. The world condemns you because it sees matter. It sees flesh. And we're all too afraid of flesh. We're afraid to get rid of it. We're afraid to know that flesh isn't there. We can't be that any longer. We're heading for transition. You can't get there with flesh. For some, it's a major stumbling block. But I doubt that anyone in this room is just starting. We know what we're up against. I'd much rather know the spirit of an individual than watch that person die. Spirit does not die. With your Christ mind, you can cleanse this world of many of its ills. And if you're listening carefully to the Father, saying, be ye perfect as your Father, you're hearing something very different than just those words. The Father is spirit. To be perfect as the Father, you must be spirit. And you must know that everyone in this universe is spirit. You can't say, I'm Christ and he's not. Or I'm spirit and he's not. And so you're compelled. You either obey or you violate. There's no transition by violating the Word of God. And I'm talking to people who want their transition, because that's what God's will is. To be perfect as the Father, you must make transition to the living Spirit. The choice has been removed from you. The only choice possible is yes, Father. But I'd like you to take with you tonight, in spite of all of your experience with hardships on other people, problems that have not been solved, I'd like you to take with you the knowledge that the only problem is the inability to let the Christ mind be your mind. When that problem is solved, you'll find there are no problems. If you got that out of tonight to the point where you can accept it, we can start tomorrow building from there. The Christ mind must be your mind. And the Christ mind only knows the kingdom of spirit. A lot of you must die. But it isn't you that's dying. It's a false concept of you. In order that the you that is you can step forth. That's what transition's all about. Awakening to the self that is eternal. And when that becomes your conviction that you can, and you will, and you must, your inner teacher will say, you've known that when the student is ready, the teacher appears, and here I am. It seems like we're working about an individual transformation, but Christ is on this earth for world transformation. The universal Christ is working for universal transformation. Each of us playing a part in discovering that we are that universal Christ. We'll be quiet now and gather our inner self.